is obviously the fighting tendency among the people. Many devotees who are coming from such a community, we are all coming from such a community. Outside in the material world there is fighting spirit. And when we are coming here, we are taught to become humble, which is may not be possible for many devotees. So how among the devotees, how we should be united, and how we should keep the mission of Guru in front, not our personal motivation, which can help other so many devotees to work together.
What is to tell us that Maya has no power to stop the progress of this movement by any external forces. The progress of this movement can only be disturbed by conflict coming from within. Earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, droughts, floods, attacks by armies, governments. None of these forces can in any way impede the progress of Lord Chaitanya's movement. And Maya Devi knows that. But when there is disunity and quarrel, or envy amongst the devotees within the movement, that is the greatest disturbance, and it is the only impediment. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada used to tell his leaders, that the most essential thing is devotees must be striving for purification. That means they must be following the four regulative principles strictly. No intoxication, no gambling, no illicit sex, no eating of foods which are a product of cruelty. And one must strictly chant 16 rounds for 2 hours of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This is the basic purity. Purity is the force. Without the following of the four regulative principles and the chanting of 16 rounds, even though we may sentimentally be very nice to each other, very friendly, there will be no spiritual potency. On the basis of that spiritual potency, we must understand and practice the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gopi Bhata Pada Kamalayora Dasa Dasa Vindas. This is the basis of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. Trinarapi Sunichena Tharorapi Sahishna Amani Namana Dena Kirtanya Sadhari. To be more humble than the grass, the straw and the speed, to be more tolerant than the tree, to be ready to offer all respect to others and to expect no respect for oneself. In this way we can constantly chant the holy names. In no other state of consciousness can we really and sincerely be chanting the holy name. Now let me ask you this question. If one is offering all respect to others and expecting none in return, will there be quarrel over selfish desires? Sometimes amongst Vaishnavas, there are arguments, even amongst exalted acharyas, there are certain arguments over how to best show compassion to others. But those arguments only increase the unity amongst those Vaishnavas. But arguments over selfish and foolish details, which is usually 99.9% of the arguments amongst devotees, how can they possibly take place if we are following the principle of amanina manadena, offering all respects to others and expecting none in return? We are living in the age of Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga means the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. Quarrel means that I want my way, you want your way. Aham mameti, janasya mohoyam aham mameti. That I am this body and those things in relationship to this body are mine, and you are thinking the same thing, therefore there is conflict. Huh? This is the power of the potency of Kali Yuga, and it is all-pervading, influencing people to be disunified and quarrel at the least, most trifling occurrence. And it's very difficult to overcome this tendency because it is everywhere in the atmosphere. And such a quarrelsome nature makes us into hypocrites. We want people to respect us for one thing, although we are something else. We do not want to practice what we preach. Therefore, we should know that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Yuga avatar who has come to overcome the influence of Kali Yuga. He has come to bring unity and love and purity in place of quarrel and hypocrisy. And how has he come to do that? With this verse? Trinarapi sunichena, sarorapi sahishmana, amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. To chant the holy names of Krishna in a humble state of mind, in a tolerant state of mind, ready to offer all respect to others and expect none at all in return. To the degree we expect respect, to that degree we will become quarrelsome. Because sometimes people simply will not give it to us. They will treat us in a way that is not according to our expectations. They will treat us in a way that is not according to our idea of what our position is. Huh? In this way there is quarrel. And sometimes that quarrel leads to envy and to enmity and to criticism and blasphemy. And then we do not even want to work together. We want to ignore each other to the face and criticize each other behind our backs. Huh? In this consciousness, we cannot properly chant the holy name of God. And therefore we become contaminated by this age of Kali. And not only that, worse than our own impurity is we are cheating the whole world of the chance to get the great benefits of the benediction moon of Sri Chaitanya Sankirtan. So this is the problem. And this is the only and greatest problem. The two greatest dangers to the progress in this movement, in our own spiritual life, is one, inattentiveness in following the regulative principles and chanting the holy name. And two, wanting to be inspected and thus falling to the prey of Kali in the form of quarrel and dissension amongst the Vaishnavas. These are the two greatest enemies. And how to overcome them? We should know that Maya is every day going to give us so many reasons to fight with one another, to quarrel with one another, to disrespect with one another, to feel disrespected by another, and to have enmity. The age of Kali. Every day she's going to give us thousands of reasons. Some days she may, like a great storm, give us millions of reasons. Or worse than millions of reasons, one big, big, grand reason. Huh? So we should expect that. Just like we know that in about 3 months there is going to be the monsoon rains. So we prepare ourselves before they come. We waterproof the roofings. Huh? At Janmashtami, you know, we build all of those shelters from rain, knowing that the rain will come, no question. Exactly what time of the day, we don't know, but it will come. So in the same way, we must prepare ourselves at all times, knowing that the storm of quarrel and dissension will come amongst us at any moment. And when it comes, we should be ready. And we should not be defeated. If we respond negatively, if we respond with pride and ego, then we have lost the battle. And we have given in. We have admitted defeat before Maya. Therefore, we should know, in fact, that our relationships as God brothers and God sisters is so far above all the superficial occurrences that take place in this world that we should simply not take them seriously. Kali Yuga is a time of propaganda, where people will come and say to you, "Do you know what this person said about you?" We should think, whether he said it or didn't say it, what does it matter? We're God brothers. It makes no difference to me. Huh? Sometimes we make mistakes. It is explained by Srila Prabhupada that in the forest, the forest fires are rarely started by anyone. Simply the wind blows, and when the wind blows, the bamboos rub against each other, and the friction causes fire. You can't blame anyone for that. It's no one's fault. It's nature. In the same way, without any provocation, without any ill motives, there will be friction amongst us. There will be. Just living in a society, even a Vaishnava's, there will be reason, there will be friction, there will be reason to fight and to quarrel. Maya will give us those reasons. I At that time, we have to take shelter of the sloka of Mahaprabhu. Trinadapi sunichena, tarorapi sahishmana, amani amani dana kintaniya sadahari. That the grass is trampled on day and night by even the lowest creatures, and the grass simply accepts it gratefully. That the tree goes through winters, through summers, and simply offers its life for the benefit of others without complaining, without retaliating. That we should offer all respect to every other Vaishnava, and we should expect none in return. If someone is treating us unfairly, unjustly, we should accept it as the mercy of God and respond with compassion and love and respect. That is Mahaprabhu's teaching. Therefore, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami said, you must take this verse, Trinadapi Sunichena, and you must thread it on the string of the holy name and wear it around your neck always. You know how people, they have these, what do you call it, amulets. They have some mantra of protection, and they wear it around their necks or they wear it on their arm. You have seen, for protection. Sometimes it is called amulet, sometimes talisman. But sometimes people, they have a picture of Nrsimhadev that they wear, or they have something to protect them. Sometimes people wear different astrological jewels for protection. We wear Kanti Mala for protection. But Kaviraj Goswami says that in this age of Kali, the only thing that will protect us is this sloka. Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishmana amani namana dana kirtana sadahari. He said, you must wear this sloka around your neck and you are strung by the thread of the holy name. And if we keep that always in the forefront of our life, remembrance of that sloka, the age of Kali Yuga can never overcome us. It can never create animosity, enmity, or envy amongst us. Because this sloka brings us above. It brings us to a plane of transcendence over all of the relativistic reasons for quarrel of this world. We find that most of the times that devotees have bad relationships with each other are based on such foolish, insignificant, meaningless details. Really have nothing to do with anything except our own false egos. Have you noticed like this? Generally, it's based on misunderstanding. It's not even based on truth. Based on misunderstanding. We see a person doing something or hear a person say something, and generally we misjudge their motives. And we respond in a certain way, and they misjudge our motives, and we respond in a certain way, and pretty soon we're enemies for no reason at all, except we don't understand each other. Therefore, as soon as this propensity to judge, to criticize, and to quarrel comes into our mind, we must remember this sloka. Vinadapi sunichena, tadorapi sahisuna, amana namana dena kirtaniya sadahari. And you see, a devotee knows that the practicing of this verse is the means of achieving the grace of God by which we can truly chant the holy name always. And if things didn't come into our life where we were not treated in an unjust way, we would have no opportunity to follow this verse. Trinadapi sunichena. Be more tolerant than a grass. That means no matter how many times people step on you, you just remain very, very soft to let them just feel comfort at the bottom of their feet. Huh? That is the position of grass. Now, if somebody didn't come to step on you, you would have no opportunity to become like grass. If devotees and other people didn't trample on your head, whether they're doing it for a good reason or bad reason, we would have no chance to follow this most sacred instruction of Mahaprabhu. So therefore, when devotees mistreat us, we should be grateful to Krishna. That, oh, wonderful. He's giving me the chance to show him I want to become like that grass. Huh? And to become like a tree, to tolerate all sorts of inflictions upon us. If our God brothers and God sisters or anyone outside inflict something on us, we should be grateful to Krishna. This means Krishna must be pleased with me because he's giving me the chance to become like a tree. If there were no inflictions upon me, I couldn't show that I want to be like a tree. Offer all respects to others, expect none in return. If somebody's not showing us any respect, we should be grateful to Krishna. Because this person is disrespecting me so severely, he's giving me the chance to follow the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and offer him all respect. Huh? If everyone's respecting you, you can't follow this verse. Therefore, we should be grateful whenever Maya attacks by creating such situations where there is reason to quarrel and fight. Because by not doing it in that situation, we have the opportunity to gain the greatest blessing of God by following the principle of the most sacred of all the teachings of Mahaprabhu. Srinadapi Samichana, Vodapi Sahishana, Amanana Manadena Kirtanaya Sadha. This is the Sankirtan movement. We are meant to come together to chant the holy name in Kirtan. That is our business. No matter how many reasons we have to quarrel and to fight, no matter how many misunderstandings we have together, if we're actually mature devotees, serious devotees, as soon as we come together in the kirtan and chant and dance together, all these things are forgotten. Finished. That is where materialists, they go to psychiatrists, they go to psychologists, they go to divorce courts, they go to all these places to try to sort out their problems. Do you understand what I'm saying? They have to find somebody to mediate for them. But we have Lord Chaitanya as our mediator. And he's found wherever we're coming together to chant his names. Especially here in the Brahmacharya Ashram, we should know that when we come together to chant the names of the Lord, and we're dancing and singing before Radha Gopinath, we become one, we become united. At that time, all the superficial, detailed differences between us disappear. We may have animosity, we may have misunderstandings, we may have failure of communication, we may be critical in our hearts toward other beings, other Vaishnavas even. They're not a Bhisanichina. But when we come to the kirtan, we should chant with such love and devotion and such unity toward one another that all of these differences become so insignificant before the kirtan of the holy name that we just forget them. This is why it is so important that we really learn how to come together in a wonderful way to chant the holy name. It is the prime benediction. The congregational chanting of the holy name can reverse all the effects of the Kali Yuga, can immunize us from all of the powers of Kali Yuga. We take shelter of one another in the kirtan of the holy name. And the unity that takes place in that kirtan is so powerful that whatever little egoistic disunities we have become insignificant in its face, and we just cannot take them seriously anymore. And if we take shelter of these principles that I am explaining, then the more Maya attacks and the more reasons we have to conflict with each other, the more we grow, become more intimate and more loving. Maya can only make us stronger, more unified, and more powerful and empowered if we simply take shelter of this principle. Of finding the supreme unification in the chanting of the holy name and remaining humble like the grass, tolerant like the tree, ready to offer all respects to all others, especially devotees, and expect none in return. Any other questions? Do you understand how sacred our relationships with each other are? Why should we allow anything or anyone come between that sacred relationship? Nothing should come between us. Our relationship is based on serving our Guru and chanting the holy name of God together. Nothing else has any relevance or significance in comparison. So why should we let any of these other things create any disharmony amongst us? We need each other. The world needs the unity amongst the Vaishnavas. It's the only saving grace in this Kali Yuga. The unified efforts of the Vaishnava devotees who are spreading the glories of Harinam's gift.
What
exactly
does it mean to
thread
these four
shloka
in the thread of the holy name?
What I just said, it means that it is the congregational chanting of the holy name and the chanting of the holy name that is the basis of this principle of Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sehishna Amani Namanadena Kirtaniya Sadhana. We cannot follow these principles unless we are sincerely and attentively chanting the holy names. It's impossible. It's artificial and superficial to even attempt to follow these principles without very sincerely and attentively chanting the holy names. Kaviraj Goswami says, take this verse and put it on the string of the holy name and wear it always. What does the string do? It keeps it with you. Without the string, it's lost. Right? It is attentively chanting japa and attentively coming together in unison to chanting kirtan that rises our consciousness above the superficialities of the world, by which we have the power and the strength to aspire to follow these principles of Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sunichena Amani Namana Deva Kirtaniya Sadhana. Without coming together having nice kirtan, and without properly concentrating our mind in our japa, it's impossible to follow this principle.
When devotees stay together in an ashram, there is a tendency to come too close together, as a result of which there is loss of respect for each other. Familiarity breeds contempt. It comes across very often among devotees, and one takes other devotees for granted and thinks they're just ordinary people. And even the way devotees we may address each other in ways which are very, very familiar. Which is what Prabhupada, I think, would say, we would call each other Prabhu, but so that we would remember each time. or we call each other by nicknames, or like as a result of becoming too familiar, we tend to lose respect for each other. And when respect is lost, then eventually all these things will come together. Right?
Therefore, we must address each other as Prabhu. Satyavrat Prabhu, Devamri Prabhu, Radha Gopinath Prabhu, Sankirtan Prabhu. We should keep the formal respectfulness amongst us. Although we may be intimate friends on one level, we must always maintain this Vaishnava principle of respecting others. And it is a great test. The more we're with someone, the closer proximity we are with another, the more reasons there will be to disagree and to fight, and to take each other as ordinary beings. But at the same time, the more close we are with one another, the more physical proximity we are with one another, the more opportunity there is to transcend the age of Kali Yuga altogether by offering all respect. It's actually the greatest opportunity. But wherever there's the greatest opportunity, there is also great danger. Huh? No pain, no gain. Living in an ashram is difficult. Why? Because we are constantly being forced to be the servant of the servant. In order to maintain the right consciousness. When you're living alone somewhere, you don't have to be the servant of anyone. Huh? You can survive by just in any type of consciousness if you're just alone somewhere. But if you're living in close proximity with other Vaishnavas, you could only survive properly if you really strive to be the servant of the servant. So actually, it's the greatest opportunity if we take advantage of it. And this means we should not be materially familiar. We should see every devotee as our Prabhu. We should think of them as our Prabhu. We should address them as our Prabhu. It's our Master. This is the principle in which the previous acharyas have taught us how to deal with one another. If we accept it and follow it, we will make tremendous spiritual events. Tremendous events. Does that answer your question? Anyone else? Yes?
Since you have so much emphasized the aspect of giving respect to others, when we were all staying in the ashram and doing the preaching work together, there was not much chance to get respect. But since everybody of us goes to some area to teach, then it's obvious that everybody sees us as you are our Bhakti Path representative, and we get so much respect. So there is a tendency to get attached to our own zones. And for some time or other, we are told that you don't go to the program today. And you feel that, why is this person saying that? He goes to his programs go on unhindered, and they say that you don't go to my, I should not go there. So,
it is not your program. It's Krishna's program. You are only the servant. Huh? This is Maya. To think anything is yours. Belongs to my Guru and Krishna. If my authority tells me not to go, I have no right to go. It's not mine. I'm only the servant. I'll go when I'm told to go. And I won't go when I'm not told. I'm simply the servant. I'm the servant of the congregation. I'm the servant of the programs that I'm assisting with. You are not going as the leader. You are going as the assistant. You may be assisting by taking a position of leader, but actually you're not a leader. We are never the leader. We are always just assisting the Guru Parampara. Nothing is ours. and we will be empowered to preach to the degree we're humble servants, not to the degree that we feel that we're the proprietor of anything or anyone or anywhere. Huh? We want true spiritual empowerment when we preach, not just some mundane influence over other people's minds. And that true spiritual empowerment comes to the degree we follow these principles of Trinarapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sahishmana Amanina Manidena Kirtaniya Sabahari. So if you go out and you preach and you get great, great respect, you should know this respect is not mine. They're respecting my spiritual master. I'm simply collecting it on his behalf to offer to him. That should be our consciousness. Nothing is ours. That's why we need to stay in the ashram. Because people are not going to respect you like that there. And that's what you need, to neutralize the effects. You may go out and preach and people may respect you and it inflames your false ego. And you come back to the ashram and it's deflated. That's the mercy of our God brothers. Huh? If we didn't have an ashram, we would simply be inflating until ultimately we would just burst like a balloon with too much air. Huh? We go out, we get inflated, we come back, we realize it's time to clean the toilets. Time to wash the floor. Time to wash my clothes. Huh? I'm just one of the brahmacharis here. When we go out, we're the effulgent leader and preacher, the representative of God. Right? When we come back, we're just a brahmachari. Right? Just one of the ordinary brahmacharis. The fact is, when we go out, we should be thinking, I'm only an ordinary brahmachari. I'm only the servant of the servant of the servant. Naham vipro na cha narapatira napi vaisho na shudro naham varani na cha drihapatira noiva na shtojatira va kintu prodya nitila paramananda punam ratabya rupi bhartya padakamala yora das das anda. I am not a brahmachari, I am not a sannyasi, I am not a grihastha or a vanaprastha. Nor am I a Brahmin Kachiya Vaishya Shudra. I'm not a preacher, I'm not a guru. I'm not a kirtan singer. Huh? What am I? I am simply the servant of the servant of the servant. That's my eternal identity. Everything else is not important. This is the only thing that's important. I may take these other roles in the mood of being servant of the servant of the servant, but that's my only identity. Huh? So when we come back to the ashram, we are the servant of the servant of the servant. We have no distinguished position. Everyone cleans toilets. Everyone washes floors. Everyone sits on the same floor together to eat prasad. Everyone sleeps on the same floor together to take rest. No one's high, no one's low. Huh? Everyone is the servant. Everyone else is my master, I'm the servant. Everyone must be thinking like this. When we come back to the ashram, everyone is my master, I am the servant. When we go out, we have to take a position of authority, representing the representative of God. But even then, we should be feeling as the unqualified servant of the servant of the servant. And to preserve that consciousness within us, living in the brahmachari ashram is the most wonderful and perfect opportunity. So when we go out and preach and get all kinds of respect and we come back, we shouldn't think, oh, just see, they love me and respect me so much, but my own God brothers don't. We should not think like that. We should think, I have to run back and get the mercy of my god brothers, who may chastise me, may spill their dal on my legs. And this way, this is my real home. This is where my real purification takes place. This is where I'll be empowered to go out and chant the holy names and preach. Any other questions? Yes. Yes. Sannyasi is Maharaj. All others, Prabhu. You think you're not the servant of an uninitiated devotee? You should be the servant of all living beings. Especially all devotees. By learning how to be the proper servant of all the devotees, we develop a consciousness where we can actually feel like the servant of any living being. But it begins with the Guru and the Vaishnavas. State of consciousness.
All the time we are servant, but we have to act like master. That time we feel that I am master, but our consciousness is there.
That's why it's good that you come to Bombay sometimes, clean the toilets, wash the floors. Satyavrat can order you how to dress the deities properly. Huh? And Anath Kumar may chastise you for your misconduct. When we are in a leadership position, we should know that it is a dangerous position by which we could lose the proper understanding. In fact, at one time in the Gaudiya Math, the sannyasis were thinking themselves so much on a higher level than the other devotees that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote a letter to all the temples that there was a new policy that sannyasis had to serve prasad and they couldn't take themselves until everyone else had already eaten, if there was anything left. Huh? That sannyasis had to wash their own clothes. Huh? That sannyasi should sit on the floor with everyone else. He put them in a lower position than the new bhaktas and the brahmacharis. And he said the reason is because the sannyasi is supposed to be the most humble, not the most proud. So let him take the most humble position. Of course, the devotees do not like to see the sannyasis in such a position. In a normal condition, the sannyasi should be given certain respect, not because of him, but because of the vows that he represents. Huh? But at the same time, if sannyasis start becoming proud that I deserve respect because I'm a sannyasi, Bhaktisiddhanta said, no, you be the most menial servant. You're last, everyone else first. We have to understand that whatever position you're in, we are the servant. He thinks I'm better. Huh? If the sannyasi accepts some respectful position, he shouldn't be thinking, I deserve respectful position. But in order to help this person make advancement in spiritual life, I will serve that person by accepting it, even though I do not deserve it at all. Hmm? temple's resident. I may have to give people orders and tell them what to do. But we should not be thinking, I am on a higher position than that. We're in a lower position. We're simply, on behalf of my spiritual master, I'm giving the person an order as his servant to engage him in the service of his guru. Not to engage him in my service, but in guru's service. In every position we are serving. We must meditate on being servants. We never meditate. That answers the question. No?
Very difficult to understand because in that level we have to give some orders. Some may be pleased, some may be displeased. So we feel ourselves guilty. If they are displeased, that means I am not being correct.
You cannot be attached to the results, you just be attached to the service. It is your service to your spiritual master and your service to the devotees to simply guide them according to your guru's words. You give them your instructions. You give them the way you know your guru wants them to serve. Huh? You're simply like postman delivering the message with all humility. If they don't like it, you have to serve your guru, and you have to serve them by giving the right thing, the thing of the guru. If we only say those things that people like, if it's not good for them, and it's not according to our guru's words, then we are transgressing the principle of humility. Then we are egoistic. We only want to tell them the things that they'll love me for, that they'll respect me for, that they'll adore me for. But if I tell them something that they chastise me for, that's hurting my ego, so I will not tell them that. No, you tell them! If that's what's good for them, if that's what they need, if that's what your guru wants you to say, that is humility. That is service. That, you mean, that way you are serving them. You're not simply trying to extract respect from them or adoration. Or appreciation. You speak the truth. The greatest servant is the person who serves truth. We're not serving people's false egos. We are serving the truth. We are serving the spirit's soul in everyone's heart by presenting truth. That is humility. Prabhupada was the most humble servant this world has ever seen. And yet sometimes he would be talking to scientists and he would say, I kick your face with my boot. He was actually in the mood of a humble menial servant to that scientist by speaking the truth to him, even though the scientist didn't like him at all. But still, he was getting purified.
Sometimes when it happens that you are in a position where you have to order out, and then we also our old grudges also are fulfilled during that time. So grudge that I have against somebody, you done me so that if there is a service. I don't think there is a service for you. Probably we discriminate whether it is really.
Soon that person will be president and get revenge upon you. That's why this rotating president is very good to keep everyone humble. Don't you think? You just chant your rounds nicely, come to kirtan nicely, hear the bhagavatam nicely, have the proper motivation, and then Krishna will guide you. You have to use your discrimination to the best of your ability. How I can best help this person serve our spiritual master. That is the way a leader should be feeling. That's all. And if you honestly have that motive, Krishna will help you make the right decisions. But as far as all these very, very fine intellectual details, if you're hearing Bhagavatam nicely, chanting the holy names nicely, and trying to be the servant of the servant, then these things will not be very important or significant. But I'll tell you this, if you do feel some animosity toward this person, and you're tempted to give that person a chastisement, better you don't chastise. Because that feeling of animosity is there. Unless it's a very, very serious matter, it's a small matter, better to humble yourself and know that it's too much mixed with my false ego, I should not get involved in this. And if you're speaking something, which is a detail, which is not a very important thing, and you know it's going to create quarrel, you shouldn't speak it. It's not productive. If it's a main principle, you have to speak it. But if it's a detail, or a managerial matter, if you know it's going to cause quarrel, better not to say it. The overall sanctity of the unity of the devotees is more powerful than all of our little managerial considerations. Any other questions? You all. Sudan, Agopinath, Pinky.